dropping the clock down a little bit. Years ago, I had the privilege of speaking at chapel at Criswell College, and when I finished, Dr. Patterson got up and said, "Don't get used to this, finishing early." And so I wanted to be certain today that I took up whatever time I'm supposed to have. Let me read to you, or with you, out of the 12th chapter of John, a verse or two of Scripture. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and he says in verse 24 of chapter 12 of John, he says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." I believe, after walking with the Lord and preaching the Word for a number of years and listening to others and reading books and all of this and that, I believe that wrapped up in these several verses is a principle that is paramount to the Christian life. Years ago, when I was a small boy, and that was years ago, I lived on a sharecrop type of a farm in middle Illinois, in a foster home kind of an arrangement. And we planted corn was one of the crops. I didn't know a whole lot about the mechanics of it and nothing about the science of it, but I remember the term hybrid seed corn. And I remember talking and hearing people talk about seed corn and talking about one kind or another of seed corn, and that this particular type of seed corn would produce so many bushels to the acre. I also remember that when we would get some seed corn, I had to be very careful not to feed it to the chickens. Don't feed the seed corn to the chickens. For seed corn was very important. And I believe that the better the seed corn, the better the harvest. It is important to develop good seed corn. Very important. Those of you that might decide to get out of the ministry and get into farming, you need to know that. It's important. Get good seed corn. And as I just kind of think a little along, I think possibly that on some of the desks of some of the presidents of some of the seed corn companies, I just imagine that they probably have a little glass box. And in that little glass box sitting on their desk on a little velvet pad is probably a kernel of corn. And maybe a little brass nameplate that talks about that particular corn. And its name, it's probably even got a number. And it sits very proudly on that president's desk, and he admires it. And when people come in, he tells them about that particular seed corn and how that particular developed seed corn just produces so many bushels to the acre. And I'm certain that that little seed corn is prideful. I'm certain that when it sits there on its little velvet pad with its little brass nameplate and people come in and admire it, it puffs up a little bit because it knows that it has the potentiality of bringing forth more bushels to the acre than just any old ordinary grain of corn. Oh, just an ordinary grain of corn might produce a little, but I mean, this is a produced, developed seed corn. And I'm certain that that little kernel is proud of its little glass house and its little brass name tag. Well, The Bible says here, and the Holy Spirit raises his voice several times, actually four times in this one verse, the 24th verse, truly, 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 the Holy Spirit says, through the lips of the Lord Jesus, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And as I look at that, I put all that together with what I believe it means when you say yes to the Lord. I believe when a person gets saved and they say yes to the Lord, they say, yes, I'll take up my cross. Yes, I'll lift up my eyes. Yes, I will gird up the loins of my mind. And yes, I will open up my mouth. Yes, I'll lift up. Yes, I'll take up. Yes, I'll gird up. Yes, I'll open up. But now those of you that are pastors of churches, you can get me to come to your church and spend a week on those four, but I won't do it today. Lift up, take up, gird up, and open up. Take up your cross, he said in Matthew, and follow me. I'm convinced that this passage of Scripture is saying to us, deny ourselves. Take up our cross and deny ourselves. Two things in the process of denying yourself. Number one, we must learn how to die systematically. For the Scripture says, if it just hits the ground, it abideth alone. If you want much fruit, if you want to follow Christ, you must learn how to die systematically. We're not much on that. Not much on dying systematically, not much on dying at all. The world's philosophy that has been poured into our little minds from the time we were born until the present is this: get all you can get. I mean, obviously, the one with the most toys wins. Get all you can get. Can all you get. Sit on the lid of what you've canned and poison the rest. That's what we've been taught. That's how we're tooled up, geared up. But the Bible says, unless you want to abide alone, die systematically. Die systematically. Now, I'm trusting that that's kind of what I'm doing. For I want to live. I want to live. And the way for me to live is to die systematically. Premeditate your death. I know you wouldn't like that. Are you premeditating your death? Are you planning your death? Let me ask you this question. Today, when you got up, how did you plan to die? What process did you go through this morning, are you presently going through, to systematically die? How are you dying to yourself today? What are your plans to die to self today? Do you have a systematic plan for dying? I submit to you that unless you do, you will not live. You might exist, but you will not live, because to live, to follow Christ and His example, we must die systematically. We must premeditate our death. We must predestinate our death. We must have a plan for dying. Probably what's on your mind today is living. Admirable that you want to become that kernel of corn that produces a great deal of corn. That's admirable. It is admirable that you have spent your time and are spending your time trying to be the most productive kernel of corn. But listen to me. If after you're all produced and you fluently read Greek and Hebrew and know the historicity of the church, and you are finding yourself on that velvet pad in that glass box with your own brass name tag, you'll find yourself alone. Alone. I'm not saying don't become a good kernel of corn. I'm not saying don't polish yourself. I'm not saying don't lacquer yourself. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying this. What happens to us is we get so busy trying to become such an attractive, productive kernel of corn that we find ourselves, when it's all over with, in a nice little glass box someplace with a brass name tag. Why? Haven't planned to die. No systematic dying. All of it has been in living. You're looking funny. Let me read it again. Into the ground and die, it abideth alone. If it just falls to the ground, it abideth alone. But if it dies, now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking that when you get your degree, you will die. You may die trying to get it. You're telling your wife, honey, when I get my degree, put me down for a little dying. When I get out of here, honey, mark her down. I'm going to die a little. I'm going to take some of my life and give it to you. Some of my time and give it to you. Some of my thoughts and give it to you. Mark her down. Put it on the calendar. The day I walk off of this stage and get my diploma, I'll start dying for you, for the children. Just be patient with me. I don't have time to die just yet. I'm polishing my kernel of corn. Soon as I get to this place or that place, then I'll die a little bit. When we get out of here, oh, me. And I get that church on the hilltop with staff members and secretaries and everybody that loves me. Oh, then we'll just, honey, you can't imagine how it'll be. We'll have our nice little parsonage, and then I'll die. You can have some then, some of this life, even the kids. Then I'll die. Listen to me, and I'll say this as kindly as I can and still be accurate. If you're not dying now, you won't die then. Amen. The Bible does not teach that one of these days die. The Bible teaches that if you want to walk like Christ, die. You know how you die? You plan to die. You don't put off dying. You plan to die. You systematically die. You can control how you die as you live. You can predestinate your dying. But you won't live. You know what you'll do? You will abide alone. I've talked to businessmen, and they have told me on several occasions when they've been so busy, no time for wife, no time for their children, so busy. And they've said to me, when I get this all together, then I'll die a little. I'll take my eyes off myself a little and die a little. No, you won't. Because you have no plan of dying. If you're not an experienced dyer now, you won't be an experienced dyer then. If you're not a practicing dyer now, you won't be a practicing dyer 10 years from now. Oh, you may have your glass house and your brass nameplate. And everybody may know who you are, and they may come by and say nice things about you and brag on you, but you will abide alone. Because the Bible says the way to live is to die. When the Bible says take up your cross daily and deny yourself, it is saying exactly in Matthew what it is saying, what he's saying in the 12th chapter of John. The principle of the Christian life, friend, is to die. Die systematically. Have a plan for dying, a program for dying. Die systematically. Well, denying self not only involves dying systematically, but it means to develop someone. Develop someone. If you want to live, the only way you can live is through someone else. Let me say that again. Not that you didn't get it the first time, but I'll just feel better about it if I know you've heard it twice. If you're not living through someone else, you're not living. That's God's principle. You're existing. You can exist all you want to. You can abide alone all you want to. But friend, unless you are living through someone else, you are not living. You are not living. You live through others. Paul, the great apostle, is still living. I get short of breath sometimes when I get to thinking about that. He's still living. He's living through you. Do you not understand? The only way you can live is through someone else. The only way I can live is to develop someone else. Develop someone else. I believe the Bible requires us as believers to put qualitatively and quantitatively into the life of someone else all we have. And if I only have a small amount qualitatively or quantitatively to put into the life of someone else, that is my responsibility to do it at that level. Develop someone. Develop someone in order to live. That even works biologically. I look out there among you. I don't see many that remember the days of the racehorse man of war, but maybe you read about it or something. There was a great racehorse several years ago called the man of war. The horse is dead, but he still runs. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The principle of living is dying. Develop someone. I was preaching from another passage, and not on this particular subject necessarily, but talking out of Matthew, preaching out of Matthew, in terms of our only responsibility, commandment, is to go and make disciples. Reproduce ourselves and others that will reproduce those their selves in world-impacting, world-visionary disciples. And I got to thinking about this, and it was in New Orleans this last convention, and I was preaching in this church, and my son was sitting out there, and I said, it even works biologically in that some of me is in him, and sitting next to him is his son, and so some of me is not only in him, but in his son. And if you wanted to kill me, you've missed it. Should have done it sooner. You can't keep me from living. There was a time you could, but now you can't. Are you getting it? Now, you will never find yourself probably in a better opportunity to develop someone than you presently are. There are many around you that are having trouble. There are wives who are just about over the hill, over the edge. They just don't know if they can come back next semester. Some of you are just about to quit. And you know what's sad? You're waiting on someone to help you, and you're not helping anyone but yourself. There are many people that you come in contact with every day that are struggling to get through a course you've already finished. They're struggling to learn something you already know. And you're saying to them with this attitude, I got mine, you get yours, the cream rises to the top. You see, you're too busy. You're too busy to help that other student. You're going to begin to die systematically, and you're going to begin to develop someone when you get into the pastorate, and you have all of that time, and your library is full, and you're going to sit down at your desk, and when those of need come in, you're going to develop them and make your little Timothys and Tituses. I've traveled this country and the world and preached in every size of church, every kind of church there are. And I seldom find a pastor with an office and a library developing anyone. He's so busy trying to manage his church, get ready for the next deacon's meeting, and find out why they're not coming. He just doesn't have time. He thought when he was where you are that he would, but he never learned how to develop someone. And so he sits on the desk in a little glass box with a brass name tag and does not live. He abides alone. Don't abide alone. Let me tell you this little incident and I'm through. Back in July, I was in the Philippines, down on the island of Mindanao, working with some pastors, trying to teach them how to do something. And I did, and then I taught them how to teach others, and I watched them as they taught others, and I thought to myself, demons, you missed it. You should have took me down in an airplane, but you missed it. And so I'm going to live on the island of Mindanao till Jesus comes. And I was back in Manila getting ready to fly out, and I was having lunch with some friends of mine and sitting there at the table. And I, across the table, said to this friend of mine, Brother Page, I don't know how long you'll live, but I know this. You'll live as long as Kai does. He looked at me a little bewildered, which is unique in itself. I seldom ever have seen him look bewildered. But he looked at me a little bewildered, and he said, what do you mean? And I said, years ago in Dallas, you began to put some of your life into his life. And as long as it's there, you will live. And I said, not only that, I suspect that somewhere down the road, he'll take some of that life and put it into the life of someone else. And so, you've got a long life. Do you want to live? Learn to die systematically and purpose to develop someone. Well, no pens, no calendars, no key rings. But I hope that truth has made it worth your while for your time. Thank you.